Malka?
Hello? 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 Hello?
Meryl?
Hi, hello there.
Hi. Everybody okay?
Yeah, I'm waiting. You're the second one.
Okay.
Judy?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? How are you?
Hi.
Good? Good. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? I guess we're still waiting.
Yeah, he's not on yet.
Okay. All right, I'm going to do my lesson on the phone. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah? Is Hannah on?
It's hailing over here right now, so I wasn't too sure I'd be able to get on.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We will begin the counting with step one, which is the L'shem Yehud. Lukem Yehud Kud Shabar Kuj in Tevi Kibu Urhima Urhima Udhima Rakda Lashem Kudhe Pavapet the Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Himea Nachnu Bayim Lakayem Mitzvah Sefirata Omer Vasot Nachat Ruach Yotrenu Vasot Rotson Moreno Vaino Amadunai Elohimu Aleinu Masei Yadeinu Kanane Aleinu Masei Yadeinu Kanane. Step two are the verses. By connecting to these verses, we adjust our consciousness for the counting. Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yohe Dawanu Heyo. Imor be'adi Adonai has yo he wa he adadu yo yo wa he da wa nu he yo has de sa le olam ma se yadi sha el tere ekra le elohim el yom la el domer alai V'yavor alayich v'yerech mitposeset v'damayich v'yomar lecha Fedam Aishaye Wayomar Licha Fedam Aishaye Barki Nafshi Et Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Elohim Elohe Gedalta Meod Od Wihadar Levashta O Teor Kishalma No Teor Shemaim Karia. Step three is the blessing. Baruch Ata Aleph Tatah to the Hay of Malchut. Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Yud He Wav He Eloheinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav Vetzivanu Al Sefirat HaOmer. Ayom Shisavi Arbaim Yom La Omer Shehem Shisas Shavuot Weyom Ech Shishi. Today is day 48 of the Omer, which is 6 weeks and 6 days. Step five is the inner light. Harachaman hu yachatzir avodat beit hamikdash lim koma bin chayrabi ameinu. And we all say amen. Step six is the menorah psalm, Psalm 67. We will be stopping at a letter and stopping at a word. Lam natsaya bin ginot nis mor shir. Elohim Yechanenu Vivarkenu Yair Pana Vitanu Sela Lada'at Ba'aretz Darkecha V'kol Goim Yeshuatecha Yoducha Mim Elohim Yoducha Mim Kulam Yismechu V'ranenu Le'umim ki tishpot amim mishor ulumim ba'aretz tanhem sela. The 48th letter is the letter Lamed. The letter Lamed as a word means a teacher. The letter Lamed is the only letter that goes above the line, the reaching up to the higher worlds. The letter Lamed is composed of a kaf, and on top of it is a vav, like a leaning tower. Together, the kaf and the vav have a gematria of Hashem's name, 26. As we learn Torah, we have an obligation to teach Torah. As the Chabad Rebbe said, if you don't know the Aleph Bet, but you know one letter, then teach that one letter. You have an obligation to teach. So what aspects of your personality traits, your character traits, are blocking you from being that teacher, from sharing the wisdom you receive, from the wisdom that you want to share? Sela Yoducha Amim Elohim, Yoducha Amim Kulam, Eretz Nadna Yevula Yevarkenu, Elohim Eloheinu. Yivarkenu Elohim v'yiru oto kol asei. The word is afsei, aleph pei samach yud. It's the essence of the word. The root of the word is ephes. Ephes is they're translating it here as fear, but ephes actually means nothingness. What character traits are keeping you in fear, afraid to do what you need to do to change yourself, to become a better person today than you were yesterday? What stops you from doing that? Those are the blockages that you need to address and change. Aretz. The next step is to say the Ana B'Koach. I hope you will join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach Gedulat Shemincha Tatir Serura Aleph Bet Gimel Yitzhak Sadi Kavel rinat amcha sad benu acharenu nora. Kufre chayim sentet nun. Na gibor torshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet, yud kaf shin. Barchem tacharem, rachame sitkatcha, tamid gamlem. Betet resh, tzadi taf gimel. Chasin kadosh, berov tuka, Na'el adatecha Ket kufet tet nunayim Yachid ge'e Lamcha p'nei Zokre kedushatecha Yud gimel lamed Ezayim kuf. The 48th word is these six letters, Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. The gematria is 230. 230 is 23 times 10. The number 23 is a very special number. because it's a prophecy that there will be a 23rd letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And that 23rd letter will be revealed by the Mashiach. It exists. It's just not yet revealed. And when the 23rd letter is revealed, and the 10 Sephirot, which is 10 times 23, becomes 230, when the Mashiach manifests this number of 230, that will be the complete revelation of the light of Hashem in the physical world. How will you handle the light, that intense light of Mashiach? Will you have cleansed yourself sufficiently that you can handle that light, or will you be burned by it, God forbid? You need to keep working on yourself. You need to change those character traits, those personality traits that would block you from being able to receive all of that light. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakatenu yodea ta'alumot shin kufav. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoah, we say in a whisper, the next step is to say a paragraph that prepares our consciousness for the counting. Ribono shel olam, ata tzevitanu al yedei Moshe, avdecha lispor sefirata omer, kedei letacharenu mikli potenu, tumatenu, kimo shekatavta betorata huspartem lachem, mimacharad hashabbat, miyom haviachem, Eto mer ha tenufa sheva shabbatot demimo vihi anam imacharat ha shabbat ha shavit kasefiru tamishim yom kidei milfanecha adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yoahe dawanu heyo Eloheinu, Elohei Avotenu, Shebizchut Sefirata Omer, Shesafarti Hayom, Yitukan Ma Shevagamti, B'Sefira, Yesod Shebemalchut. Yesod translates as foundation. But Yesod is also sexuality, creativity, creation. Malchut is manifestation. What does the manifestation of creation look like? What does the manifestation of creativity look like? What does the foundation of manifestation look like? All of these images will help you reveal the light and cleanse yourself so that when the time comes and the Mashiach does manifest, you will be ready, cleansed of all of your negativity. V'et taher v'et kadesh b'kdusha shel ma'ala, amen selah. Our class tonight is an essay by the Ari from the Parasha of Naso. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. In row 14, the second column from the left, it says the Aries landing page. When you click on the landing page and it opens up, scroll down to Parashah Naso. And the link in within that Parashah Naso is the secret of Levi's jeans. And we're not talking about the pants that are produced in San Francisco. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Udkilu Udkilu Urchimu Leakta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe Beyehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadonai Elohinu Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Kananei Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Kananeihu. Kabbalah explains the nature of feminine strength. The following commentary by the Ari follows that of the previous Torah portion, which is Bamidbar. The meaning of the phrase, according to their families and their father's houses, is as follows. From the five states of Givurah, two female partsufim are constructed. One is named Leah and the other Rachel. As is known, the female partsufim are constructed wholly out of states of Givurah. And you've just been given an explanation of why females are considered left column, while females tend to be more judgmental than males. That's not to say that the males are not judgmental. The two parts of Fim, thought and speech, respectively, are the two female parts of Fim of Leah and Rachel. Leah deals with the head, with the thought, and Rachel deals with the manifestation, which is the speech. In the frame of the head. The female is the essence of expression, and the two principal forms of expression are thought and speech, which respectively are the two female partsufim of Leah and Rachel. These are the two wives of Jacob, who personify Zeranpin. Jacob connects to Tiferet, which is another name for Zeranpin. Leah and Rachel are his wives, one connecting to Bina, one connecting to Malkut. The first to be built is Leah, who is called their father's house. This is because our sages call women a home. Leah is the higher of the two houses, since she absorbs 443 lights, this number being the numerical value of the word for their fathers, when written without a vav. The word for fathers in Hebrew is avot, and it's generally written aleph bet vav tav, but it may be written without the vav as well. Since the vav in this case plays the role of a vowel, the cholam, that can be also written as a diacritical mark, like the other vowels, just the dots. And this is in fact how the word is written throughout the portion of the Torah that we are discussing. Since fathers come conceptually before families, their father's house is the higher of the two levels. The number 443 here will be contrasted with a smaller number, 370, associated with Rachel. These lights are the same as those of the four Alephs in the four divine names Echye, Aleph He Yud He, whose numerical value is 444 when spelled out. The same is that of the word for their fathers with the Kolel. With the letter Aleph, when the letter Aleph is spelled out, Aleph Pei Lamed, its value becomes 111. 4 times 111 is 444. The divine name Echye, I shall be, is associated in Kabbalah with the Sephirah of Keter and Bina. Specifically, the Netzach Kod Yesod of Ima, the Partsuf of Bina, are expressed by 4 iterations of the name Echye. The intellect of Nukva is derived from the Alephs of these 4 names. As I have explained elsewhere, this is alluded to in the verse, make known to me, Hashem, my end, and what is the measure of my days? This is a verse from Psalms. The word for my end refers to the partsuf of Rachel, while the word for the measure of, in Hebrew, midat, spelled mem dalet tav, whose numerical value is 444, refers to Leah. The word for the phrase according to their families in Hebrew, lemishpachotam, refers to Rachel. The reason for this is as follows. We may divide this word into 2, lamed bem shin and pe het bav tav mem. The partsuf of Rachel comprises the 10 sub-sephirot, and each sephirah possesses 1 divine name, Chavaya, spelled out in such a way that its numerical value is 52. When the divine name Chavaya is spelled out Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Hey, Vav Vav, Hey Hey, its numerical value is 52. This is one of the 4 basic ways the name Chavaya may be spelled out. Each of the 4 spellings of the name Chavaya is associated with one of the 4 basic Sephirah groups. 72 with Chachma, 63 with Bina, 45 with the Midot, or with Zeranpin, and 52 with Malchut. This is alluded to in the verse, I am not better to you than 10 sons. This is a verse from Samuel. The numerical value of the word for son in Hebrew is Ben, or Bet Nun, which is 52. The 10 sons in the verse allude to the 10 spellings out of the name Chavaya in the 10 sub-sephirot of the partsuf of Rachel. The numerical value of these names together is 520. If we add the kolel of each of the 10 names Chavaya, this gives an additional 10, giving us a total of 530. If we add to this the number 5, signifying the 5 states of Chesed, together with the 5 states of Giborah, the total is 535. Alternatively, we can add to 530 the female, Bartsuf, represented by the final letter He of the name Chavaya, and whose numerical value is 5. And this also gives us a total of 535. This number is the numerical value of the second set of letters into which we divided the word for according to their families. Pe, Het, Vav, Tav, Mem, together with the Kolel. Thus, this number represents the Partsuf of Rachel. the number of lights that she absorbs is 370, which is the numerical value of the first set of letters into which we divided the word for according to their families, Lamed, Mem, Shin. With regard to these 370 lights, it is known that there are 370 lights that shine from the upper face of Zerunpin, as is explained elsewhere. It is explained there that they spread out in a straight descending line until they reach the Yesod of Zerunpin. This phenomena is called peace, in Hebrew, shalom. The 370 lights originate in the Partsuf of Arichanpin. The number 370 is derived by various ways, the simplest being based on the general process of inter-inclusion of the Sephirot. The three intellect Sephirot of Arichanpin undergo a tenfold iteration twice, thus giving a total of 100 for each Sephirah, and a total of 300 for the intellect as a whole, because of the three Sephirot. The seven emotion Sephirot, in contrast, undergo only one tenfold iteration, and this gives 7 times 10, or 70. The sum of the iteration of all 10 Sephirot is thus 370. These 370 lights are said to shine out of the face of Arichanpin, and in so doing manifest tremendous goodwill and mercy. Even in everyday parlance, when someone is in a specially happy mood, we speak of his face lighting up. Arichanpin is the partsuf of the super-rational will. So when light or positive energy emanates from its faith, God's goodwill is manifest in creation. Abstract intellect does not produce an emotional response, is not worth much. Let me reread that. Abstract intellect that does not produce an emotional response is not worth much. When these 370 lights reach Zerunpin, they shine in it as well, and thus the emotions are lit up by this will. As we have explained previously, Zerunpin is the main partsuf of any particular world, which simply means that the measure of man is his emotions. This is why the emotions are called in Hebrew midot, literally measures. Man's intellect is, of course, his distinguishing human factor, but abstract intellect does not produce an emotional response and is not worth much when it doesn't produce that emotional response. Similarly, he may possess all kinds of good intentions and goodwill, but these become actualized only beginning with the emotions, which in turn serve as the motivation for action. Emotions, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod, all coalesce into Yesod, the Sephirah of sexuality. Sexuality is the drive to connect with the world and affect it, to reproduce one's image and imprint it on reality. The most profound and physical manifestation of this drive is, of course, the drive to have children and perpetuate oneself and his ideals for posterity. But in essence, any interactions between the person and the world outside him, including interactions with any other creature, are sexual, in that in the interaction, he seeks to leave his imprint on reality in some way. if everything is working right, and the 370 lights of Arikantin are shining into Zerantin, and they affect all the emotions, including Yesod, it means that the person's sexuality is holy and in consonance with the positive energy and goodwill informing his whole being. This phenomena is called peace. The individual is not torn between what he knows his higher ideal should be and the negative egocentricity his unrectified sexuality pulls him toward, but rather his sexuality is a pure expression of the highest positive, wholesome, creative energy possible. I am adding, it is incredible to understand how corrupted has become modern society. What does peace mean to modern society? Kabbalah is awesome once one has reached a level to perceive true peace, even at an instance, at a distance. This is because the Sefirah of Yesod is represented by a small vav, whose numerical value is 6. And when the 370 lights descended to it, they add up to the 376, the numerical value of Shalom, peace, spelled Shin Lamed Vav Mem. The Vav represents Yesod, since it is the final of the 6 emotions. Also, the straight line form of the Vav evokes the image of the 370 lights shining into Zerantin, descending along a straight path into Yesod. The concept of peace is associated with the Sefirah of Yesod, in addition to the reason cited above, because the word shalom is related to the Hebrew word for perfection, shleimut. A person whose sexuality is warped is considered blemished, while one whose sexuality is on track is considered complete. This idea is closely allied, obviously, with the relationship between Yesod and peace mentioned previously. As you know, all these 370 lights are states of Chesed, and that is why they descend to Yesod. In the process, the 370 lights shining from the face of Arikantin into Zerantin, they shine from the 2 cheeks of the face. The shining skin where there is no hair, there's no beard. One way the number 370 is derived is that the 2 beams of light from the cheeks are each a manifestation of the divine name El, spelled Aleph Lamed. And this name is filled in. When a letter is written or sounded, melui, filling in the letters that spell the name of the letter, below this is coded as hidden. The letter filling is equal to the value. Aleph, Aleph equals 1. The hidden Lamed is 30. The hidden Pei is 80. The Lamed, again, the second time, is 30, but the hidden Mem is 40. The hidden Dalet is 4, spelling out Lamed, Dalet, Lamed, Mem, Dalet. The total you have is 111 plus 74, which totals 185. And 185 times 2 from each cheek is 370. The inner dimension of Chesed is love. And the real manifestation of love, of course, is the person's sexuality or the Yesod. And I am adding, the process from inner dimension to the exterior is what potentially leads to the corruption of love becoming lust. This is my opinion. This is also why Joseph was of beautiful form and beautiful appearance, from the glow of these 370 lights. Joseph personified the attribute and sephirah of Yesod. He thus reflected the light that shines into the sephirah from the face of Zeranpin. The glory of the face is the beard. This is also the mystical reason why our sages say, the glory of the face is the beard. For someone who possesses the attribute of Yesod, the attribute of Yosef, has a beard, and the glory of the face, which is, as we said, these 370 lights. On the verse, and Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Rashi explains this was because they had not seen each other, that because when they had last seen each other, the brothers already had beards, but Joseph had not grown his yet. But by this time, the beard had grown. Thus, the beard plays a key role in the drama surrounding Joseph. A eunuch, in contrast, lacking the attribute of Yesod, lacks the glory of the face, which is the beard. The biological reason why a person without a procreative organ doesn't grow a beard is, of course, because without sexual hormones, his secondary sexual characteristics, his beard, will not appear. The mystical reason for this, however, is that without a vehicle for expressing his sexuality, which, as we said, is his drive to impress his unique expression of divinity on creation, the person will lack the glory of his face. There will be no reason for the 370 lights to emanate from him. Once these 370 lights reach Joseph, Yesod of Zeranpin, they pass through his back to the partsuf of Rachel, which is situated there. This is the mystical meaning of the verse, Rachel was of beautiful form and beautiful appearance. She received the attributes of Joseph, whereas Leah, the higher partsuf, is not referred to as being beautiful. As explained in Chassidut, Leah and Rachel signify the two principal vehicles of expression of Malchut, thought and speech, respectively. The difference between these is that thought is chiefly inwardly directed. It is a means of expressing one's ideas to oneself, while speech is outwardly directed. One talks to others. This is the mystical reason why Jacob preferred Rachel to Leah. He sensed that she personified speech, which is a more effective way of making one's imprint on reality than his thought, and therefore was driven to channel his sexual creative energies specifically through her. This is also why, despite the fact that thought, which is Leah, is a higher revelatory experience to the thinker than speech is to the speaker, only Rachel is described as being beautiful. The glow of beauty is the reflection of the glow of the 370 lights of goodwill, optimism, and purity. And these are fully manifest only when they flow into full expression. It appears to me that this is the mystical significance of the verse. And then Joseph and Rachel approached and bowed down. Rachel was behind Joseph. When Jacob introduced his family to his brother Esau, the Torah says that first the handmaids and their children approached Esau and bowed down to him. Then Leah and her children, and finally Joseph and Rachel. Since in the case of the handmaids and Leah, the mothers are mentioned first and then the children, this indicates that the mothers were in front of their children when they bowed down. In the case of Rachel and Joseph, however, Joseph moved in front of Rachel in order to hide his mother's beauty from the wicked Esau. Thus we see that Rachel is positioned behind Joseph. This would explain why, in this sense, Rachel receives her beauty from Joseph, even though in the plain sense, obviously, the order was the other way around. Joseph inherited his beauty from his mother. The sons of Merari also manifest the five states of Gevurah. The sons of Merari also manifest the five states of Gevurah, but they manifest the five states of Gevurah of the feminine waters that exist in the Yesod of the Nukva. And this is why they are called Merari, meaning bitter, referring to the states of severe judgment that they comprise, for they are the lowest states of Gevurah in the Nukva. Thus, the numerical value of Merari, spelled Mem-Resh-Resh-Hud, is 450, which is 5 times 90, the numerical value of the word for water, Maim, Mem-Yud-Mem. Referring to the five states of Gevurah, each one of which is a type of feminine water. It is for this reason that when God commands Moses to count them, he does not use the idiom lifting up their head, but simply says, the sons of Merari, number them. They manifest the hardest and most bitter states of Gevurah in the Yesod of the Nukva that do not ascend. Were they to ascend, it would make the higher states of Gevurah bitter. As we said above, only the descending states of Gevurah, corresponding to the clan of Gershon, rebound when they hit Yesod of the Nukva. The third and lowest set of the state of Gevurah does not rebound. In reference to the sons of Gershon, however, who manifest the states of Gevurah, which spreads throughout her body, the idiom lifting up their head is used. I do not recall the mystical significance of the sons of Kehot, but it seems to me, Chaim Vital, that they manifest the five states of Gevurah in the dot of the Nukva. And this would explain why the sons of Kehot are on a higher level than the sons of Gershon. This is a logical assumption, for of the three subcategories of the first category mentioned at the beginning of this passage, two have already been assigned, and only the highest subcategory remains for the clan of Kehot. The job of the Kehot clan is explained first at the end of Parashat Bamidbar, before those of the clans of Gershon and Merari at the beginning of Parashat Naso. Furthermore, the Kehot clan's job is to pack and unpack the actual vessel of the tabernacle, the ark, the menorah, the two altars, and the table, referred to as the holiest of holy, while the other clans are to pack and unpack the boards and curtains that comprise the tabernacle structure and the curtains surrounding the tabernacle compound. Now, in the directive to count the sons of Gershon, the expression according to their fathers' houses and their families is used. While in the directive to count the sons of Kehot and Merari, this expression is reversed. This is because the sons of Gershon manifest the states of Geburah that descend and reascend, as we have explained. Their light is not noticeable until they have ascended. Their light thus may be considered to shine only after they have ascended. Therefore, their light reaches first the partsuf of Leah, who is called their father's house, and only afterwards reaches the partsuf of Rachel, who is called their families. This is not the case with the sons of Kehot and Merari, and consequently, the order for them is reversed. I am adding. Here is a vertical chart showing the three sons of the tribe of Levi and their duties and the family house relationship. The son's name, the state of Geburah, and the house family relationship. The sons of Kehot are the five states of Geburah in Dat of Nukva, according to their families and their fathers' houses. The sons of Gershon, the five states of Geburah that spread through the body of the Nukva, according to their fathers' houses and their families. And the sons of Merari, the five states of Geburah is a yesod of the Nukva, the feminine waters, according to their families and their fathers' houses. It's in reverse order. And that is the end of our class, the end of our handout for tonight. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow is Wednesday, so our 11 o'clock class is Jewish history. It will be Jewish history associated with Shavuot. And at 4:30 tomorrow, we have another class, which is the Deep Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. West Coast time, we have our questions and answer period. Does anyone have any questions right now? I wish you all Shalom Gadol, a wonderful period of time of peace, serenity, and truly righteousness. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom Gadol.
Thank you,
Hano.
Thank you all.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.